my gosh. And just like that, it's where are we at? 3 years now?
Happy anniversary.
Oh my gosh,
no
guys, we did it.
Song for happy anniversary, or you know,
no,
I'd be
there
singing
isn't.
It.
What anniversary is it? Is it like, there's like the paper anniversary, there's the gold anniversary.
I think they go in increments of like five or tens. I don't know. You know what?
Is this the glitter anniversary? Do I just get to throw craft herpes at you? Like,
yeah,
is
maybe.
This permanent? Creatively permanent.
Hang on. I'm looking it up. What anniversary is 3 years? It's anniversary.
Oh, fellas, leave the room.
Leather
oh,
anniversary.
My. Oh, wow.
I got you some Sasquatch leather for our
Strap in, guys. We have a show for you planned. We have brought our own guests. I brought producer Ian, my beloved.
Aw.
And he's been, you know, hanging out with me through the pandemic. He's been my trooper and everything. So mm-hmm. I figured I'd let him be part of this with me. And yeah. And who'd you bring with you, Sammy?
I brought my younger brother, Joel. He's my best friend. I'm home visiting South Dakota, visiting my family, and he's with me.
Hello, hello.
Yay. So. Hi, Joel. Oh, my gosh. So we are all in the family today. You guys get all
yes.
of us.
You get
yes,
so many people
for the last
today.
Episode. And that, if you guys didn't hear from our last episode, this is going to be our little wrap up. So no tears.
No tears.
At least for now.
Just like, the Johnson & Johnson shampoo, but not the vaccine. That one had
it's not
lots
goodbye.
Of tears.
It's just good day. Exactly. Yeah. So we're going to have a lot of fun on this show. This is Conspiracies and Cryptids with Sammy and Tessa. If you guys are just finding us now, I'm sorry. You have to go back 3 years and you have so much content
to
find.
60 plus hours worth of content to listen to us through. So.
Exactly. So you have hours of entertainment, endless. Mm. Ask any of our fans. And we've also, so you'll have to check out our social media. We will still be active on there.
Yes.
And, but we're going to, before we actually get into our story here, because we do actually have one more topic for you guys that mm-hmm. we have planned out for you. We have more listener stories to share.
We
do you want to share one, Sammy?
Yeah, we do. We have a few more listener stories. We figured we'd cover those and clean up our inbox so we didn't leave anybody feeling left out before we went on our little indefinite hiatus. So this first story comes from our dear friend and listener, Amber, who uses she, her pronouns. So once
She's
again,
awesome.
Amber, thank you for helping us normalize pronouns. So Amber says, hey, 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 here's a silly story to maybe add to the listener stories section. Well, yes, that's exactly where we're going to add it.
That's what we would expect from Amber.
She says, I have a few more about my husband's accounts, but here's my story. Back when I was just out of high school, I was a stupid young punk who started partying and being all crazy. Like, I think that's kind of what everybody does.
I was going to say was. Come on, Amber. Be honest with yourself, girl.
Well, that sort of stuff gets you kicked out of your house real fast in my family. And I found myself temporarily living with my best friend and her mom until I cleaned up my act. Sleeping on her futon in her living room, I started hearing what sounded like a crackling alien voice. Instant chills from me. Mm-hmm. Nope. I don't like that.
Oh my.
She said, like it was coming through a radio or something. My phone at the time was a Nokia brick, so I knew it wasn't that. And I couldn't find anything else in the room to create that noise. Also, whenever I lifted my head off the pillow, it stopped. Every night I passed out on the futon and maybe around 3 a.m. woke up to this voice. 3 a.m. That is like the witching
it's
hour.
The witching
and
hour.
I hate
it
that.
It is. Oh, no. What is it? Oh, my gosh. Kill it. I hope. I mean, let's figure out what it is first and then,
right.
you know.
No, 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 no.
But if it's happening.
This podcast, we shoot first and ask questions later.
Always, always.
She said, boop, 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 boop. It started to really freak me out. My brain started going straight to all the paranormal and horror movie scenarios I could conjure up. And I started to not be able to sleep. I told my friend about this, but she just laughed it off, saying I was too drunk or whatever. Well, I talked to my mom and got to come home on good behavior. That week, I got a phone call from my friend saying she heard it too. What?
What?
I was thinking to myself, maybe she had like braces and was getting broadcast, but
that,
now,
okay, that is a thing actually happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, you see it in movies and stuff all the time, but they've like, I think Mythbusters
did an episode
on it. And they found out that on rare occasions, braces can actually pick up radio signals. Mine have not done that yet, and I'm very disappointed. I feel like I'm not getting my money's worth.
See, mine did it back in high school, but it was only just the Mexican channel, and I didn't understand any of it. So.
And your head's magnetic, so that makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's true. So she said, so we investigated and tore that room to shreds. Well, guess what? It was a dang Furby under the blanket under the futon.
Oh, you see what I told you?
That's
kill
more
it.
Evil.
Kill it.
That is worse than aliens.
I would have rather have found an alien.
I would have rather found aliens, absolutely. So she said its batteries were dying, so it sounded like it too was dying. That's why you could only hear it if your head was against the futon. I will never look at Furby the same way again. So creepy.
Just drown it. Put it out of its misery.
I have a special history with Furbies, so I appreciate that story.
Everybody remembers what a dying Furby sounds like.
Oh, absolutely.
That haunting thing.
Yeah, it sears itself into your memory. You do not forget that.
I actually saw a TikTok today about like Furbies that could like have a glitch like out of the box, like brand new. Mm-hmm. Like certain Furbies like would come with a glitch out of the box and they would just kind of get stuck and sound like they're dying even with brand new batteries. And I was like, I hate everything about that.
See, that's the only Furby that's ever going to go for money because that is value right there.
It's a nightmare in a box.
Like a landfill full of ET. All right. Well, I have one too. Thank you, Amber, so much for sharing.
Amber. Thank you, Amber. We always appreciate when you write in.
You have been so amazing through this entire adventure.
Endeavor.
So since you hopped on with us and stuff, so thank you so much for sending in all of your support and stuff. And we cannot wait to see where you guys end up next. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to move on to to Olivia. And let's see, I'm going to edit a little bit here. She gave me some awesome backstory. Hello, girl. You're from Savannah, Georgia. She's 30. Hey, yeah, so am I.
Hey, the 30 club.
Fun. Awesome. Let's see. And she has a 5 foot tall statue of Bigfoot in her backyard that she bought with when the pandemic started. Image included. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Oh, that is cool.
Let's see. I'll show you guys here if I can. Oh, can I share my screen on this? I don't know if I can. Well, it's in our email, but it's awesome. And it's just almost as tall as she is. Oh my gosh. That's adorable.
Stimulus money.
That's
well spent.
That's what the government had intended. Right? That's exactly what we had.
Exactly. We stimulate. So, of course, Bigfoot and Sasquatch are her favorite cryptid. But then I have my silly old lady side, in which I collect teacups as well as I sell Avon. So when your reptilian skin is feeling dry, you've got to use moisturizer. I love it. That's very cute.
That's so clever. I love that.
She writes, I did want to tell you about a cryptid you might not have heard about, which is called the Boo Hag. One of our friends from South Carolina told us about the Boo Hag, and I believe it is supposed to be a witch-like creature that steals skin to wear. It slips into your house through a small crack and sits on your chest while you sleep and gets its energy by stealing your breath. So when you wake up and you're still tired because the Boo Hag was stealing your breath, something to look up that may be an interesting episode. Sounds a lot like sleep paralysis.
It sounds like the sleep paralysis demons. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, they just, it's so creepy. Okay. But also, it sounds like a great way to sell skincare.
Absolutely does. Joel, have you ever had sleep paralysis?
No, I haven't.
What about you, Ian?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I had it quite a few times. Yeah.
So, like, Tess and I have talked about it, and we've never experienced it. So, like, can you give us a little insight as to what it's like from a first-person point of view?
Yeah, absolutely. The first time it happens is obviously the one where you're like, you don't know what it is. And especially if you have it, I guess if you have it a few times in close succession to that, it's very, very jarring. And like, it can really mess with your head quite a bit. But the first time I had it, it felt like I was having a dream that somebody had come into the room and like had woken me up and then had like sat down on my chest. It's just like, basically it's like a dream, you know, when you're trying to run away and you can't run away.
Right.
It's that you can't breathe. You're trying to breathe, but your lungs won't breathe. And I so your that. Brain, which is awake, kicks in and goes, you can't breathe, freak out. And you start freaking out, but you can't move because you're paralyzed from, you know, being in the REM stage of sleep.
Right.
So you can't move either. And the very first time I had it, I had the hallucination on top of it where there was an entity with me. And oh, it was like staring into my soul, like above me as I was exiting the psychosis, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And you know, it does eventually break and you know, you break out of it and it's horrifying and you're sweaty and shivering and terrible. the first time I had, I had actually heard of them before through like copypastas and things like that. Right. So I kind of knew what it was after it happened, but I had to go talk to a friend who is a medical professional to really get a grasp on why it was happening and what was going on. Cause them, and obviously it's stress. If you're living in a stressful situation, that's what causes it.
Gotcha.
And anytime I start having stress at work that becomes, you know, too much, sure enough, I will start having episodes of sleep paralysis. And the interesting thing is that there is absolutely a posture trigger to it. If I'm not in a specific posture, which is, you know, flat on my back with my hands by my side, I won't get it. I've never had it in any other posture than sitting, usually on a couch or in a chair, or, you know, just lie down maybe 30 minutes ago on a bed to nap. But if I'm in a bed sprawled out or, you know, on my stomach, it won't happen. Huh. So
something about, I've heard like it's a compression on like a nerve in your back and like the lower back and stuff. If you're like sitting a certain way and then it's like, you basically have to like, it's like a cramp in your hand and your body has to just let go of the cramp, but it's just in your back and it's on a place where you shouldn't be cramping.
Interesting.
While I haven't personally experienced it, my coworker experienced it. And it was, I only really knew about sleep paralysis because like the week before I had been talking about it with Sammy. And so he came to work like white as a sheet. And he was talking about how he sleeps with a CPAP machine.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that he, you know, got that sensation of he couldn't breathe. And like, to him, he felt like the entity that was in the room was like holding the CPAP machine's hose shut.
Yeah. Oh my God. No.
He was just absolutely freaked out by that. And felt the pressure in his chest and thought that that was like, oh my gosh, I'm having a heart attack because of this.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just really glad. Like I had been talking with Sammy about it. So I knew it. Like when he described it to him, I was like, that sounds exactly 100% like sleep paralysis.
Right.
Yeah. So, oh my God. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Well, now that we're all nice and freaked out, there's another half to Olivia's email here.
Sorry to interrupt your story, Olivia. We'll get back to it.
She says, I do also want to share with you guys a paranormal experience that I'm hoping doesn't make Sammy throw up. So keep it together, Sammy.
I will try to contain myself.
I know. About 6 years ago. Stop it.
It's hard.
About 6 years ago. I was living with my parents in their house in Florida while my husband, who had just gotten out of the Marine Corps, was working at a job as a contractor in an aviation here in Savannah. Since it was a contract job and not a direct position, we didn't want to move all of our stuff from Florida, where we were before he took his job and where our family also lived, just in case the job didn't keep him. So we would get offered a direct, you know, until we could get a more stable position. I stayed in Florida at my parents' house. Anyways, one night I woke up in my room and saw three shadow figures standing in a row and near the end of my bed, with one in the middle being slightly taller than the other two. Prior to this, I had never seen a ghost nor a shadow figure. Whenever I would hear stories about shadow people, I always imagined flat, two-dimensional shadow like you would see on a wall or something. But this was solid and like three- or four-dimensional. They look just like a see-through body, but made up of a shadow. Ooh, that's creepy. Ooh.
I'm going to throw up.
Oh, God, I said keep it together.
Not in my house.
There's more, but wait, there's more.
Oh, God.
Feeling uneasy about what I was seeing, I pulled my sheet over my head, but I can still see the dark shapes through my sheet. I pulled the covers back off of me and thought my eyes must be playing tricks on me. I figured it was that there had some pressure on my eyes while I was sleeping, or I figured that there had been some pressure on my eyes while I was sleeping, so I was sort of seeing floaters or something. For some reason, I then leaned forward in my bed and stretched my arm toward the figures and moved my hand side to side as if trying to fan smoke away. Okay. You tried to touch it?
No.
Why?
Why would you do that?
Olivia! Just as I pulled my hand back, I noticed the figures were still standing there. The larger one in the middle mimics me and stretches its arm toward me and moves its arm side to side, just as I had done.
Oh, what? God,
now I'm
going to
throw up. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was enough for me. Yeah, I hope so. I got out of bed, went to my mom's room, and crawled into bed with her because I was so freaked out. Mind you, I am not a kid at the time. I was 24 and so scared that I went to bed with my mommy. Since then, I haven't seen any more ghosts or shadow figures, but whatever they are, I have prayed to telling God I don't care if they're real. I just don't ever want to see them again. Thank you for taking the time to email us, Olivia. And thank you so much for listening.
I loved and hated that at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ditto. Ditto.
If that had happened to me, I would have thrown up. Absolutely. 100%.
I think going and sleeping in your mom's bed is an absolutely appropriate response to that situation.
Yeah, it sure is. 100%.
There's no other response to do there. I mean, there's just, I would need my mommy. There's no, you need an adultier adult to handle this. There is no adultier adult than mom.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and talk about our topics. And then we'll have some more listener stories at the end.
Yeah, anniversary episode.
Special.
So, since you don't have the penny for your thoughts.
Oh, well, so we're both talking about the same topic.
Oh, okay.
So we don't need the penny for our thoughts today.
Gotcha.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Yeah, because we decided to collaborate.
Upgraded from pennies to dollar bills.
Dollar bills.
We upgraded. So for due to inflation, we have upgraded from the penny for your thoughts to the Sacagawea dollar for your thoughts.
I might have a silver dollar somewhere. Hell, I might even have a Sacagawea dollar.
That's stimmy.
I got the Sacagawea dollar out of a toll booth on the way home. So road trip, there was like none of the states except Kansas had toll roads. All the rest of the states I drove through, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, and Iowa and South Dakota, none of those states had toll roads. Kansas did, and they had a lot of them.
Was it worth it? Were the roads better in Kansas? Were they using their money wisely?
No,
or
they
is
were
it just
exactly the same as any other road. It was just like, hey, now there's a toll.
That's like their only state income, though.
Probably. But either way, so it's like I got like two like gold dollar coins from the toll booths in Kansas.
Nice. So. You're rolling in it. Yeah.
Rolling deep.
Well, I figured I kept them just in case I needed them for another toll. Because every time I took an exit to like go get gas or something like that, I had to pay a toll. And then I had to get the ticket when I got back on the interstate. It was so dumb.
So then you flip them a coin and be like, keep the change.
Keep the change.
And the toll was always arbitrary number. It was like, okay, if you get off at this exit, it's like $5.67. And it's like, thanks.
Let me just search my car cushions.
Right? It was so
exactly. dumb. Oh my gosh, that is dumb. Well, at least, you know, travel be travel, right?
Travel right. be travel. At least you got traveling.
It's not about the destination. It's the journey that gets you there.
And the destination. I feel like it's about both.
And the destination. That's true. What the heck? What are you going to do when you get there? You're just like, I don't know what. I didn't plan. I just got here.
Oh no, we just had plans when I got here, so you know.
But. I'm just talking about in general.
Oh yeah, okay, that's fair.
Anyway, so welcome back to the you know, the conspiracies and cryptids with Sammy and Tessa. It's our
we talk about conspiracies and cryptids like half the time, and the other half we're just rambling about nothing.
You know, party tickets and gosh, what else have we talked about? All kinds of like pool noodles and
I think we've talked about pool noodles. We've talked about lots of dumb stuff.
Lots.
We get on a lot of tangents.
And thank you so much for sticking with us.
No kidding. I don't know if I would have stuck with us. All right. So when Tessa and I decided, like, we're discussing what to cover for this, you know, like, finale episode, we realized that we never really talked about one of the most well-known conspiracies / cryptids. So, and that's the secret government men who are allegedly seen around UFO sightings, and their purpose is usually to suppress information from getting out. So we're talking, of course, about the Men in Black, not the movies.
Yeah, exactly, not the movies. And I don't want to say too much before I get sued, but using too much of their song.
These stories did inspire the movies.
Yes.
And
yes,
I personally believe that the movies were made to throw people off course so that when you Google Men in Black, you find all sorts of stuff about the movies and not the actual Men in Black.
Ooh.
That's my Frozen conspiracy. Kind of thing going
on. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like a Disney's Frozen kind of thing. Yeah, I have. Yep. You look up like Disney's Frozen, and instead of finding information about his obviously frozen head buried underneath Disneyland under the Matterhorn, instead of that, you find Elsa and Let It Go. Oh, it's
an
conspiracy.
That's a clear message. Hidden message. Yeah, exactly.
That's a clear message. It's mocking stuff right there.
Yes.
Hey, I'm going to look at this. Man, you should probably just let it go, huh?
Let it go. Yeah. They knew what they were doing, and I think so did the U.S. government when they hired Will Smith to play in Men in Black. They were like, hey, we don't want people to Google this anymore, so we're going to make a movie about it.
Exactly. Exactly. So. Little did they know, people would just try to Google how to get the weird memory flashy thing.
Right. Yeah.
The neuralizer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the neuralizer. Which, thank you.
I wouldn't doubt that exists, too. As somebody who works for the government, I would not be surprised that that actually exists.
Neuralize me, cat.
All right. So the first documented sighting of the Men in Black was from a man named Harold Dahl near Maury Island, which is located in the Puget Sound in Washington State. And I had to be careful not to say the pungent sound. They're very pungent similar sound. Words. So on the night of June 21st, 1947, Harold Dahl was on a conservation mission, gathering logs with his son Charles and the family dog. When they saw
save the logs.
Yeah, gotta save those logs. They were probably gathering them for like beavers or something. I don't know. I couldn't find any specifics. It was just a conservation mission. So they saw six donut-shaped objects pass through the sky above them, and according to Dahl, one of the crafts fell nearly 1,500 feet and dumped a white lava or metal-like substance onto the boat.
Oh.
Yeah. The debris broke his son Charles's arm and killed the dog.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
The poor dog.
The poor puppy.
No.
Now, I couldn't find out whether like the ship just like unloaded a bunch of crap or if the ship crashed.
Maybe are we the galaxy's dumpster?
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. We treat our own planet like a dumpster. So I wouldn't be surprised if other planets treat our planet like a dumpster too.
They're just like, they treat it like that. Just sure. Where do they think we learned it? We learned it from them, or did they learn it from us?
We're just the galaxy's dump. So
who's chicken, who's eggs here?
We're the rats scurrying around the dump, I guess. But anyway, so I couldn't find out if this was like the ship crash landed and the crash caused the debris, or if the ship just flew over, like came down like to a lower altitude and then dumped a bunch of debris on top of them. Either way, debris fell on them. Yeah. Either way, debris fell on them. It broke Charles's arm and it killed the dog.
Goodness.
So Harold managed to take a few photos and report the incident to his supervisor, Fred Chrisman. Chrisman was obviously skeptical because I feel like anybody would be healthily skeptical when you hear that sort of thing. And plus, he probably also didn't want to have to file an accident report. So he was obviously skeptical and then decided to go see for himself. And he also saw a few of the strange objects in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
The morning after the incident, Dahl claims to have been approached by either one or two men in a dark or in dark suits, which I couldn't find if it was one or two. It was different sources said different things, but it was either one or two of them. And in detail, this man or men in dark suits recounted exactly what Dahl had witnessed the night before and said, "What I have said is proof to you that I know a great deal more about this experience of yours than you will want to believe." He also warned Dahl not to speak of what he had seen or there would be repercussions. They even fogged up the images and photos that Dahl had of the crash.
Oh, wow.
So.
Oh.
Yeah. So basically, he like they took Dahl out to lunch from every like account that I could read. They took him out to lunch and basically sat him down and said, "This is what you saw last night, isn't it?" And like laid it out in detail, everything that he had seen. And he goes, "Yeah, why?" And they're like, "Well, that proves that we know more about this than you do because we weren't even there and we saw it." So, and then they said,
"Poor Dahl's like, yeah, what do I win?" And they're like, yeah. Nothing. Your memory is getting stabbed.
You win secrecy or we'll kill your family.
I'd almost prefer being neuralized at that point.
Right, right. Just neuralize me at that point. I don't want to have to keep that secret. So the FBI then proceeded to investigate the case because they did in fact, like talk to some like reporter about it. Like an investigative journalist who the investigative journalist reported it to the FBI. So the FBI came out and investigated the case and concluded that Chrisman and Dahl's sightings were a hoax. In their files, they even noted that Dahl had stated if questioned by the authorities, he was going to say it was a hoax because he didn't want any more trouble over it.
Wow.
So, and these FBI agents on their way back to wherever they had come from, their plane crashed and they both died.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Hmm. And these weren't the men in black. These were like the FBI agents that like came out to investigate the X-File. You know, Mulder and Scully came out to investigate and died on the way back.
Jeez. Not even Mulder and Scully could survive this. Jeez. No. Gosh, wow. Can you imagine experiencing something that's like so completely like altering of the way you understand this planet? And then you have to get to a point where you're like, it's a hoax. Please stop asking me about it.
Just stop asking me. Yeah. I don't want my family to get hurt. It's, I just made it up. So
it's like self gaslighting in a way or something like that.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of self gaslighting. It's like, you know, that it happened. They acknowledged that it happened and they said, "We know that you know that it happened, but you're not, if you ever talk about it or dig into it more, we'll hurt you and your family." So it's like, what happened? I didn't see anything.
Yeah. What boat? What son? I don't have a son.
What dog?
His arm's broken.
My son fell down the stairs. He's
My dog went to go live on a farm.
My son tripped over the dog and went to live on a farm.
Yeah, right? It's fine. But anyway, so that is the first story like on record of the Men in Black.
Men in Black.
What a first story. Right? Holy cow.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Well, I've got a couple of more that are going to kind of blow your mind even further. In fact, one of them, well, there's two. And one of them has kind of some mentions that I thought were kind of worth exploring a little bit. I kind of learned a little more than I expected this morning. And then, of course, I'm going to get down toward the bottom. And sure enough, on our last episode, I find something else to research. God. So I couldn't find a date for when this exactly happened. But another well-known encounter with the Men in Black was with a man named Dr. Herbert Hopkins. Mm-hmm. Hopkins was working as a consultant on a UFO case in Maine when he received a phone call from someone claiming to be another believer asking if he could visit Hopkins to discuss the case. If that wasn't weird enough, he showed up at Hopkins' door immediately, like minutes later. So he was just like, "Hey, can I come over? Hey, 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 ding dong, ding dong."
Look outside.
So he was wearing a black suit and tie with unusual facial features. He had no hair or eyebrows, and he was extremely pale. And of course, Hopkins' dog was just like going berserk.
Right.
So, you know, probably a, you know, an unusual character to be sure. These aren't not necessarily unusual features of someone who was on the street. This happens. My dog goes berserk no matter what you look like.
Yeah.
But after some questioning, Hopkins says the man in black informed Hopkins that there were two coins in Hopkins' pocket, which was correct. He asked him to remove one. Hopkins complied and held the coin, a shiny new penny.
Ooh, the penny for our thoughts.
Ah.
We've come full circle.
He put it in the palm of his hand. And after a few moments, the coin took on kind of a silvery appearance and then appeared to be going out of focus. And then it began to fade and eventually disappeared altogether.
Excuse me?
So he can do magic tricks too.
Nothing up my sleeve.
Wait for me, David Blaine.
David Blaine is my favorite cryptid.
Jesus. That's a great classic YouTube. So then it began to fade and disappear. The MIB informed Hopkins that the coin would never be seen, quote, on this plane again. And they were not on a plane, guys. They were on the ground. They banished it
to the shadow realm.
To the shadow realm, exactly.
Or to the fifth dimension.
Upside down.
So then he inquired as to whether Hopkins was familiar with the alleged UFO abductee Barney Hill, which we will come back to in a little bit.
Hopkins replied we've talked about them before.
Exactly. Hopkins replied that he had heard of Hill, but was under the impression that he had died in the not too distant past. The MIB informed Hopkins that was correct, and he said, the MIB said, Barney didn't have a heart, just like you no longer have a coin.
What?
That is not a veiled threat. That is fully out in the open threat.
that is just a threat. There is no veil on
there
that.
There is no veil.
No. It should, though, be noted that Barney actually died of a cerebral hemorrhage, if one chooses to believe such things.
A likely story.
You know, yes, exactly.
I mean, I feel like your brain might hemorrhage if your heart goes missing.
You know, I mean, you would think so. The MIB then gently suggested that Hopkins destroy any material he had related to that UFO case. Hopkins gently suggested that he destroy it.
At gunpoint, he held him at like magic point.
At magic coin exactly. in your pocket point.
Magic gun point.
You know what else you got two of? You know what I can make disappear?
I made this guy's heart disappear. Now, if you wouldn't mind, could you, please, maybe?
It brings a whole new meaning to, like, he stole his heart.
Exactly. So Hopkins, spooked by the encounter, followed the advice and burned all the files. And while he had some repeated phone troubles after that, the phone company said his line had been tampered with. So it wasn't tapped for some reason.
Yeah.
But he never saw the man again. So like I said, though, I couldn't find a date or any like other telling of the story, on like any reputable sites, which, you know, when you're talking about this podcast, what exactly is reputable? So we're just having fun here. In fact, I couldn't even find a ufologist by the name of Dr. Herbert Hopkins. However, Hopkins does seem to be a popular name among abductees. There was a famous Hopkins, Elliot Bud Hopkins, who actually died back in 2011. He's best known for popularizing the idea of alien abductions as genetic experimentation through his books.
Okay.
Originally, he was an artist. Bud Hopkins was born and raised in West Virginia in 1931 before going to Oberlin, Ohio for art history in 1953. What's with the artists? It's always the artists and the abstract stuff that ends up being.
But like, also, of course, he's from West Virginia.
Right.
I guarantee he probably also has a Mothman sighting under his belt.
Exactly. I mean, he starts talking to people about like missing time and stuff, because he went on to New York City where he met a bunch of other abstract expressionist artists and stuff. So then he got really wild. After he published his book, though, it's called Missing Time in 1981, his UFO research like started to like take over his art. It was like this gap really started to widen. Then he just only wrote books about ufology and everything. Mm-hmm. And actually, although he kind of had a, like an interesting kind of skepticism about it at first, allegedly he was aware enough in 1938, having been born in what did I say? 31. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's like only about 7 years old to experience Orson Welles' War of the Worlds original broadcast, which I know, which of course I've heard people both believed and ignored at the time. Some people say like, oh yeah, I believed it. And other people were like, no, it was very obvious. This was a teleplay. Like
there's also a conspiracy out there that I recently heard about that. Like it was a cover up that it was fake.
Ah, oh, so, yeah, because of the Battle of Los Angeles.
I heard like a conspiracy theory that was like, you know, hey, this whole Orson Welles, like, you know, radio drama, it wasn't a radio drama. It's a cover up that it actually happened, but everybody just said, no, it was just a radio drama, but it actually was something that happened.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, so we were like missing a city somewhere. We just don't know where. Mm-hmm. So, but apparently though, it left Hopkins, who would have been 7 at the time, with some pretty severe psychological scars, but it says it only added to his original skepticism about UFOs, right, which I don't fully understand with him, but eventually once he got to university, it just like totally went, like he got more people that were like, oh yeah, totally, UFOs are real. And he's like, right. Oh really?
He just kind of skepticism just got pulled
down with him.
Yeah,
exactly. His interest in UFOs was brought up again almost 30 years later in the 1960s when he and two others reported experiencing a daytime sighting of a UFO in the form of a darkish elliptical object near Cape Cod. The government didn't respond to check it out, and he assumed they were covering something up. So that's when he started collecting other people's stories and learning about people who claimed to have experienced contact with these extraterrestrial beings. So basically the cops didn't show up once and he's like, oh, you guys are hiding something. Okay. so he's going to try to get down to the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. There was, but like I said, like we mentioned, there was Mr. Barney and his wife, Betty Hill. That's reminiscent of the podcast. I'll touch briefly again on them. The Hills were a couple from Newport News, Virginia, who claimed they were abducted by extraterrestrials in a rural portion of the state in New Hampshire on the 19th and 20th of September in 1961. This encounter is considered the first widely publicized report of an alien abduction in the United States. Mm-hmm. And that became known as the Zeta Reticuli incident because she basically got a map for it. Mm-hmm. And basically, if I want to know more about that, I don't know how to explain it. I tried to look more into the Zeta Reticuli incident and the map and everything and the whole. And I just felt like, you know, Tomb Raider, you know, bent elbows and high knees just running into ivy walls. I don't know what I'm reading. But I'm moving forward.
Let me see if you keep going and I'll see if I can't find out what episode it is that we talked about that.
And then you guys could go back and check it out. We definitely covered it. But she describes it though as a map of consisting 12 prominent stars connected by lines of 3 lesser ones that formed a distinctive triangle. And she said that she was told by her abductors that it was, that the solid lines formed trade routes and dashed lines were like to less traveled stars. Mm-hmm. And then Barney was hypnotized a couple of times and, you know, he's kind of where we get a little bit more of our kind of more modern depictions of aliens that they have like, you know, big eyes that are really the intrusive.
Grays and stuff like that.
The grays that they just touched, you know, that's where we get the butt stuff, you know, that he said that their eyes were like pressing against his eyes and very, very weird. So I got down to, there's two more little sightings here. This one was interesting. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I found the episode. It was episode 53, which was Dokkaebi Dance Club and Troubles for the Rebels. So that is the episode that we talked about Barney and Betty Hill. So just not that long ago, like less than 10 episodes ago. So you can easily find that.
So run back and listen to that one. Cause that's another good one where we cover that in a little bit greater detail. But our another sighting that we also wanted to cover was Dr. Albert K. Bender, who was a well-written researcher who founded the International Flying Saucer Bureau. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's going to get a visit from the MIB. I mean, he's up to no good.
Right.
apparently in 1955, he was getting ready to publish a big scoop in the Space Review, exposing the government for trying to cover up UFO research, when all of a sudden he just dropped everything. Rumor has it he was visited at home by the Men in Black, who urged him against pursuing UFOs any further, but the encounter left him so scared for his life, and his later works were so rambly, almost unreadable, and he appeared to pretty much live in constant fear, and he ended up dying in 2002.
Oh my God. So, well, like, they probably threatened to steal his heart.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
you
know, God.
You got any coins in your pocket?
So we don't carry coins anymore.
So this last one, Sammy, I'm gonna send you a picture real quick to check out.
Okay.
This was the one that I was like, oh my gosh, of course, now I find something that I could have let's see. Maybe this will work. That I probably could have done a little bit more research on. So there's this picture of this little girl holding this flower, this bouquet of flowers. You see this?
Hang on. Did you send it through Facebook?
Yes, I did.
Okay. It hasn't come through yet. Give me a second.
Okay. Oops. I sent it to my mom.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to explain that.
Hey, like, what is this? Yep, here she comes.
So, yes, I have seen this picture before.
Okay, so this is the Soloway first Earth spaceman photo. In 1967, fireman Jim Templeton took a picture of his daughter holding a bouquet of flowers in a field, only to spot someone who appears to be wearing what looks like a beekeeping suit or a space suit peeking over her head in the background.
Yeah.
The problem is that Mr. Jim Templeton says no one else was around when the photo was taken. So, like, who is this person? Templeton was allegedly later approached by two government agents who referred to themselves as number 9 and number 10, or in other reports as, like, on numbers. They wanted to know more about the event, but Templeton wouldn't give them much. He said he didn't see the figure personally, and apparently the pair got extremely upset and just stormed off, never to be seen again. But there are apparently explanations for this photo. One of them being that it could be the photographer's wife whose back is to the camera, and the blue dress appears to be white due to overexposure, which could, you know, I could see that being like a shawl and like the back of her like bonnet, you know, or like her, if she's wearing a hat of some kind and stuff, I could definitely see that. But I thought that was kind of neat and, worth maybe a little bit more digging and stuff, but that's a little bit more about some of the other encounters about the Men in Black and stuff. People typically seeing things that were like, was that what I think it was? And then people showing up going, yes, it was, and don't think about it anymore.
Right. Or your heart will go missing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Or just, you don't need a neuralizer if you can just threaten people to make their heart vanish.
Exactly. Exactly. You don't need it. And but I mean, I imagine that technology has gotten better since then.
Probably. But yeah, like I saw that, you know, like throughout my research, I saw that the Men in Black just, they pop up here and there, but not like in super detail. Like apparently even like the Mothman Chronicles have some Men in Black references or appearances in them. So it's just, they pop up all over the place. Anytime there's something that is a little unexplained, they come up to tell you, if you look into this, we're going to make your heart disappear. So, you know, that's just their shtick.
They are the Men in Black, and they're going to steal your heart. Like,
just rolls off the tongue.
I don't think. There's a reason I don't think or write music. That's his job. He writes the jingles and the intros. Exactly. But, so that's okay, all I've got for Men in Black. So take another break. So
let's take another break, and we'll come back and finish this out with our last couple of listener stories.
Excellent.
Are we not going to cover Dan Aykroyd?
No, we're not going to cover Dan Aykroyd.
Because he had an experience with the Men in Black.
Wait, did he really?
Dan Aykroyd had an experience with the Men in Black.
Are you familiar with this enough to talk about it right now?
Let me look it up real quick. But I was doing some research for this, and Dan Aykroyd had an experience with the Men in Black.
Oh my God. I had no... I was like, no, we're not going to talk about Dan Aykroyd. But apparently he saw the Men in Black.
Yeah, like...
I just figured you were making like a Ghostbusters.
No, reference. Like for real. Like, okay, so the fact that it was of all people Dan Aykroyd, I think that's hilarious, but let's see.
Okay, so apparently we've got a celebrity encounter with Men in Black that I somehow did not come across in my research.
I didn't either. So here we are just like sitting in a break figuring out what to talk about next, and Joel's just like, are we going to talk about Dan Aykroyd? And I was like, no, we're not going to talk about Dan Aykroyd and the Ghostbusters. And
like, Joel's come like, on, Joel, seriously. For
And Joel's like, no, Dan Aykroyd like saw the Men in Black. So
I was just sitting here with bated breath waiting for you guys to bring up Dan Aykroyd. But so, yeah. Okay. So apparently this is the latest sighting of the Men in Black.
Okay.
And it was in 2002. Dan Aykroyd was trying to sell a series that he was working on to the sci-fi channel.
Okay.
And it was called Out There. And it was basically a show about UFO sightings and, you know, crop circles, lizard people, that type of stuff.
Right, right.
And the producers and, well, like the sci-fi channel was very interested
in, as they would be.
In getting this show. And so they're in the process of doing interviews with people for the show because they're already filming. And during one of the breaks, Aykroyd stepped outside and he saw a black Ford sedan with a man in a black suit just sitting there staring at him. And he said that he gave him a dirty look and then just like drove off, like floored it, peeled out, drove off. And so a couple hours after the interviews ended, the sci-fi channel executives called him and said, sorry, we're canceling the show. We're not going to be doing anything with this. And don't try to sell it to anybody else.
God.
Oh, so it had already been greenlit
and was in production and they shut it down.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow.
Yep. Nothing ended up airing for Out There. And none of the footage is available. All of it just got completely shut down. And that was right after he had a sighting of a man in a black suit.
Now, hear me out. What if the person in the car who stopped everything was Harold Ramis, and that's why Dan Aykroyd could disguise himself so we could punch him in the face in a New York subway last year?
I forgot about
it. It was
that.
Payback. That's who punched Harold Ramis in the face.
Oh my God.
It's just a conspiracy. That's why we have a podcast.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Wow, that is insane.
That was better than anything that we found in our research.
Like, I mean, geez. Spacemen in pictures who could be women in blue dresses. And you've got Men in Black halting productions in 2002.
Interesting.
I love it. That's awesome. See,
my theory, though, is had it been a ghost haunting him about this, it would have been no problem.
Oh, yeah, because he ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Plus, he makes him feel good.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Man. So, yes.
So, let's get into these listener stories. I've got one from Cam. They say, greetings, this is Cam, and this is a short sighting of the Black Panther. But between the years of 2011 or 2012, I'm not sure about the exact date, my mom looked out the kitchen window, and then in parentheses, we live in the middle of nowhere in northwestern Pennsylvania. She said, along the edge of the wood, she saw a giant black cat-like creature. It was about an acre away. At the time, I just thought that it was maybe a melanistic mountain lion, which is a thing that happens. I didn't think much of it until I read about the Black Panther of Ohio Valley. I hope this helps. So that is something that I have looked into. I just, could never find enough information on it to like really talk about it. So that could have ended up, it may someday end up in another cryptid corral. But yeah, there's been a few sightings of a giant black cat in like the Ohio, Pennsylvania area, where obviously there would not be a panther. But yeah, some people think that it might just be a puma with a severe melanin production that makes it look black.
Interesting.
So, I want to pet it too. I want to pet the big kitty.
Give it snacks. Shake, 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 shake the treat bag. See if it comes.
Careful. You make those sounds too much and Joel's cat here is going to go nuts.
He is very food motivated.
Oh man, well that was, thank you Cam for sending that one in. Thank you so much. That's like,
that was really cool.
Oh my gosh, super cool. So
I feel like that's just something you see a lot when you're living in those parts of the country that are highly wooded areas. They, like being from Indiana, we always had some new sighting of some new cat. Obviously, you got the bobcats, the real things, but there was always somebody who was like, no, it was way bigger than that, man.
Oh, yeah.
Or, it was all white.
We've got, like, you know, mountain lions and pumas out here in the Dakotas, you know, and they'll pop up from time to time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, you'll hear stories about, oh, we saw a saber-toothed tiger come back from the extinction. And it's like, I really guarantee you didn't.
So, it's like that people... kind of like, it's kind of like that irrational fear when you're in a pool mm-hmm. and you're mm-hmm. like, there's a shark in here. And, but yeah. you're like, in a, you're in a forest. You're like, there is a saber-toothed tiger in here.
But like, there are people in this area that they'll say they've gone out looking for like a woman screaming mm-hmm. in the middle of the night.
Oh mm-hmm. yeah.
And it's absolutely like they'll think, oh my gosh, someone's in trouble, make it out to their door, and then they'll be like, oh wait, that's a mountain lion.
Yeah, yeah.
Because mountain lions, yeah. I
mean, mountain lions scream, and it sounds like a blood curdling woman's scream. It's terrifying.
Mountain lions and what is it, peacocks, but like not in the same enclosure. Like, let's put them near each other, but not. They both of them, when they scream, well, sound like raccoons. Women in peril.
Raccoons yeah, sound like babies true. Screaming. Oh, and then we've got like barn owls that we've talked about multiple times that it's sound like, true. You know, people screaming. So we got so many animals.
I feel like we just come up with the coolest idea for a zoo.
Exactly. Chaos zoo.
The screaming.
You just walk in and just.
You got axe throwing in the back. You guys, it could be such a party. Such
all
a party.
The activities
oh
are like activities that could get you killed. So it's like, you never know, if it's a person screaming or just one of the animals in the zoo.
It's a screaming zoo slash fun zone. Love it. It's an idea. Follow us. Follow us. It might become a reality.
We're starting a new Patreon. Help us fund a screaming zoo and fun zone.
Ice cream.
Heading zoos are for chumps. I'm going to go to the screen.
All of our parrots just scream their heads off. Just all they know, death metal parrots.
So
oh my
got,
gosh.
You got
okay.
One more story for us, right?
I do. I have one more for us from Joseph Cochran, who actually sent this back to us from August of last year. Thank you so much for your patience. I have actually been trying to like sneak this one in here somehow for a while because this is actually pretty cool. And there is video evidence that is attached. So if Sammy, if you want to open up the email on your phone and stuff, you're definitely going to want to see this video.
Okay.
So while I read this, so Joseph Cochran sends us, so my friends and I, their names are Mike and Austin, I'm Trent. Hi, Trent. They were driving in the parkway to North Carolina. They started talking about Lady in White, and it was foggy, so they turned around and stopped freaking themselves out, you mm-hmm. know. So we got to Tanger Outlets in Blowing Rock around 10 p.m. We were just going to turn around and head back the other way so Mike and Austin could head back home. And as we were turning around, we noticed that all of the little kid rides were running, but they were required to have quarters in them to operate.
Oh, no.
There's only one car in the parking lot and nobody's riding the rides. These rides are timed, but they would stop moving. Get it together.
freaks me out. I'm sorry. Like if I was in like an abandoned parking lot and the kid rides are just going,
why
playing
is it
that
always kid rides.
It's always
too,
kid rides and they're like, always playing that like, you know, Calliope music.
Mm-mm. Please and see it's like, this video.
I'm not so, the videos of this. Okay, that's going to make me I will literally start puking like right here. Ahead.
Well, then let me finish reading.
Okay.
So, after we recorded a couple videos, they weren't grade A videos, but you get the point. The second after the last video we recorded, the speakers that were playing music sounded like they were having feedback. This feedback turned into a high-pitched raspy scream that was growing mm-hmm. louder as we heard footsteps footsteps running toward our vehicle. I can't even speak.
No.
Ah.
I was absolutely
freaking out. I floored it out of the parking lot. I asked my friend who works at the Tanger Outlets if they've had any experiences like me. And she said that she was working late one night, heard whispers, and then something touched her on her head. She panicked and told her coworker. Her coworker said she was imagining things. And right after that, a dish flew across the room and shattered.
Oh.
They both ran out and ended their shift right out on the spot after that. Could this be an undiscovered cryptid or of a little girl who's angry or just a spirit? tell me what you guys, what you think. Thanks for reading this email. It's a long one, I know. So,
okay. So my first thought, that's poltergeist activity.
Yeah, see, poltergeist totally are is. Kryptonite. I don't know.
Kryptonite.
So, poltergeist always creep.
They creep me out because it's like, usually spirit activity isn't like that bad. That does not sound like a cryptid. If it's throwing things around and moving things and very much physically interacting with the world around it, that's some poltergeist level stuff. And the fact that it's like touching them,
touching people.
Yeah, right. It's like making them.
No, I'm not okay with it. All right. So I'm going to look at this video real quick.
Yes. Look at the video. But yeah, there's no one in the parking lot.
All right. Give me a second. It's got to download.
Oh,
all across the entire, like, that's a big, like, outdoor mall, too.
Like, I would think by the time you hit the last one to put a quarter in it, the first one would be done.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Like, and there's not enough people but,
like,
there. I guess
and, like,
the only other thing I could maybe think of is, like, because I used to work at a skating rink, and, like, we had to flick on the games and stuff, and everything obviously goes through a cycle when you first turn it on, is that maybe there's some maintenance crew who just turned everything on for a second, and they're just catching that.
True,
but that still doesn't explain the screaming or the footsteps.
No, it doesn't explain that. But yeah, like, I did think maybe like a power surge could have, like, you know, made all the rides, like, you know, turn on suddenly, and that could definitely do it, and it would do it all at the same time, you know. But
yeah, but they said there's no other cars in the parking lot but them. That's what's so weird.
It doesn't explain the footsteps.
It doesn't explain the screams or the footsteps, and it doesn't explain the dishes flying across the room. So I don't like any of that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that video makes me creeped out.
Mm-mm. Yeah. But. So thanks for just for buttoning us up with something really freaky there, Trent. Thank you so much for sending us that really awesome email. And thank you to all of our listeners. Oh, yeah, and the video, too. Thank you to all of our listeners and everybody who has participated and helped us out and been such amazing support over the past 3 years. And thank you to Sammy for taking over last season while, you know, I had to take my own break. And thank you to Ian for putting up with all of my questions and setting up the microphone over and over and over and over and over and over and over again because I refused to listen and how to do it the first time correctly. And then taking cords because he needs them for other things and not telling me where they are. And thank you to Sammy again, and thank you to Joel for joining us for this one. Yeah. And I'm glad we got to finish this one up with a little family doodad.
Yeah. You know, it's been fun. Like, this has been a blast of a 3 years that we've gotten to do this. Like, I mean, this was literally just a random idea I had. Like, I was talking about this with Tessa after last episode finished. And it's like, it was just a random idea I'd had, and I was trying to, like, come up with who I could do this with. Tessa and I had only met once at this point on our river raft down the Sacramento River where we all got third-degree sunburns. And it's like, we never really kept in touch after that because I came up with the idea like 8 months later. And we just so happened to be at like a friend's game night. Like, she had us over to play board games and like a dinner party sort of thing. And as Tessa and I were just like sitting around talking, I was like, I want to do a podcast with this girl. So I just asked her, I was like, do you like conspiracy theories and things like Bigfoot? And she's like, absolutely I do. And I was like, do you want to do a podcast? So, so it worked out really well. And it's like, as much as it's kind of, and it's like, as much as it's kind of like sad to kind of stop for a while, it's like, I know we need a break and, you know, and I know that we need some time to just kind of like figure out what we want to do. Like, it's not necessarily like this is the end of the podcast forever, you know, but we kind of ran out of direction and we need to figure out what we want to do from this point on. So,
and you will see us in more things. Absolutely. Yeah. And, definitely stay tuned for more things. And, and we have like definitely seen all of your amazingly supportive emails from all of our awesomely supportive
Those have been super nice.
Oh my gosh. So great. And like, you know, we
and
said,
I do have like a couple other, and I do have a couple other like little cryptids. So I might pop in from time to time and just do like a little one man cryptid corral here and there just to surprise you guys with little episodes every now and then. But, and yeah, like Tessa said, we'll still be on our social media. So I think we might open the crypt up, you know, to everybody just as a way to like a fun way to interact with everybody, you know, but, But yeah, just thank you so much to every single one of you that's been so supportive and really kind of spread us around. We did not think that this was going to get anywhere beyond Sacramento. And no, now we've got people all over the world listening to us, and that still blows my mind.
Oh my gosh, so crazy. Australia and New Zealand and gosh, like what, China and Europe, England. And Europe.
Yeah.
Yes.
So thank you, cool. Everybody. But yeah, so this is us signing off for now. But don't forget to keep your eyes peeled and your ears open. And don't forget,
Big Brother is watching.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Conspiracies and Cryptids with Sammy and Tessa. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can head over to our website, conspiriesandcryptids.com.
If you'd like to get in touch with us and keep up with what we're up to, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Cryptopod, CryptiPod, or email us at conspiriesandcryptids@gmail.com.
Finally, if you're vibing with what we're doing, we'd really appreciate it if you left us a 5-star review on iTunes. If you don't feel like writing a long review, just put Big Brother is watching in the description. And don't forget,
Big Brother is watching.